Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Oh. Hey, y'all.
Just call me Mrs. Krueger.
Call me Mrs. D.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 249. This is Jorge.
Hey, I'm Matt. This is Matt. That was great.
The Hell, episode 249. This is Sam, King Sam.
You're King Sam?
Oh, yes. That is...
And Hail Rhett.
That is imposterism. He should be executed on the spot.
On the spot, yeah. Or at least put in the stocks.
Yeah.
We'll see what Sam thinks about this.
We'll see who puts who in the stocks.
Matt's like, I already know what he thinks.
I've got it on good authority.
I'm the voice of Sam.
He's fucking Worm Tongue over here.
Yeah.
Worm Tongue.
Yeah, is that this guy's name from fucking Lord of the Rings?
It sounds like if you tongue someone's asshole, you become Worm Tongue.
I would have gone with a Dune joke.
Yeah.
I'm going with tonguing someone's asshole.
I mean, but that's fun.
That's pretty good.
I know, but
that's
you can still be good. Worm Tongue.
I mean.
That is the guy's name from fucking who was like in King, what's his name's ear?
No say. I apparently forget the speech right after it happens. So
we've been talking about Dune a lot.
Have we?
Yeah, you're reading the books.
I read the book. There is no continued reading of Dune here.
And what the hell is on Droney's head?
That was good. That was good stuff. I really like that stuff.
We were listening to shitty bluegrass covers of
like 90s songs. 90s songs. Like really Taylor great. Swift and like
Rhett was not a fan.
No.
He already
so shitty that you had them memorized.
He already doesn't like a lot of 90s songs.
See, that's not.
Whoa.
You assume that we memorized.
It's like any other decade. There are songs from that decade I don't like.
You don't like No Rain. Figure. And that's an impossibility.
And you assume that we memorized the bluegrass versions. No, we didn't. We memorized the original.
Anyone listening doesn't like Blind Melon's No Rain, chime in because I'm not the only one.
Everyone's going to say that you're a crazy.
You may not be the only one, but I feel like you're in the minority.
That's fine to be in the minority from time to time. Like if in Nazi Germany, if you weren't a Nazi, you were in the minority. Like what? Speaking of which. I want to be the minority. You like that shit? Yeah.
Yeah, Green Day wanted to be the minority.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Minority. Yeah. I'm not into what they're doing now.
No, that new album is. It's 26 minutes of pure fire, dude. Dumpster fire.
26 minutes.
I have not listened to that.
It's bad.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Anywho, Matt Smith.
Yeah, buddy.
You watched anything in the last couple days that
I watched Come to Daddy.
Come to Daddy.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it
yet. Are we doing that for an episode?
It's so good.
Okay, I guess not.
That means we should.
Well, yeah, but he already.
What is that?
He's already let the cat out of the bag.
Oh. The cat is out.
The cat is out.
Buried the lead.
That's all right. We can talk about it, but
that doesn't mean that.
Yeah, but we can do a whole episode on it.
It just came out, so I'm not going to talk much about it other than to say we'll talk about it,
but we won't dedicate a whole episode to it.
It was really
that
good.
Shit's a mistake.
That's a mistake.
We got a full plate coming up, though.
Yeah, we got a full.
We're going to do After Midnight and fucking Blumhouse's Fantasy Island this weekend.
So you know what I was thinking? I was thinking that we should do After Midnight so we give the exposure to the indie film.
I think that's a good move.
And do Fantasy Island for Patreon.
And then that way we can tell Christian Stella to go fuck himself yet again.
He said he followed us on Twitter. I don't think he was.
Well, I can't wait to see After Midnight.
I'm super excited for it.
And I already have my seats in Dolby. For Blumhouse's Fantasy Island PG-13.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have our seats for VFW.
Where the fuck is that playing?
La Jolla.
At the Arclight?
Yep.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Me and Alia and Brian and Jax.
Thanks for the invite.
Sick invite, bro.
Brian said last time he invited you guys to the movies, you completely bailed on him, both of you.
And then he said, no worries, and he's still...
Yeah. But it's
bring
still,
it up.
Yeah,
it's still
it's,
hurt.
He's a it's, not, it's no worries it's until you're hurt. A dick about it every single time
for
we bring something up.
For
yeah,
your
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
He will not be joining us for the rest of his life.
Brian didn't say anything.
I stand with you on that.
He just didn't invite you guys.
But yeah, thanks for the invite, though.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, I don't care.
I do a little bit.
I care that it's playing in a theater. That's what I care.
It'd be a lot.
Hey, you know who directs this movie, right, Jorge?
No.
Which Joe Begos.
Oh.
He did your favorite movie last year.
Good. I'm excited.
He did a film called Bliss.
Yeah.
He also did Almost Human, though. So there was that.
He also did Astro Creep 2000, more human than human.
I kind of like that.
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen Almost Human. But he did Mind's Eye, too, with Lauren Ashley Carter, which was really
good. That was good.
It had Jeremy Gardner in it. You know, I had a novel idea that next week is the last episode of the Who Goes There podcast. Think about it. First episode was a Jeremy Gardner Christian Stella film. Next week is episode 250, so it's a milestone and it's a Jeremy Gardner Christian Stella film. It's the perfect bookends to a shitty 7-year career.
What? Why would you even say that?
It's just a fun idea I had.
That's a fun idea.
That's more morbid than any joke we've ever made on this show.
He has been talking to Brian then, I guess.
About what?
About bookending this show?
Yeah.
What, because Brian writes books?
Because you're all woke now or what?
Yeah, is that why? Fucking
hella woke.
Teetotaling motherfucker over here.
Hella woke. I also watched The Boxer's Omen, but we're doing a Patreon episode on that, so I'll save my opinion on that.
I'm very excited about that.
I watched Good Will Hunting, but that's it.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking movie, though.
It's fucking boring, dude.
What?
Whoa. Okay. On that note about Robin Williams, you jog my memory. Something I didn't get to mention I watched recently last time.
Dead Poets. 1 hour photo.
Dead Poets Society.
That's a good movie. Great.
Have you seen that movie, Matt?
No, dude. It's boring.
You probably think that one was fucking boring.
Do you think I've seen that movie?
Does anyone get fucking killed in that movie?
I mean, doesn't somebody die in that movie?
Yeah. Oh, so he's seen it.
It's elevated horror. It's like more about the dread.
I've always been jealous of those jackets that those guys wear. Like that long jacket with the hoods.
Oh. Yeah.
Fucking dope.
Yeah, I agree.
Dope ass houndstooth jacket.
Fucking go out at midnight.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but that's all I've watched.
Fucking lame, dude. I don't know about you anymore, man.
What?
Because Good Will Hunting is
God,
boring.
Dude, that movie is fucking boring.
No, everybody's like,
oh, he's such a loyal friend. He's so good. Matt, he just fucking peaced out without saying bye to his fucking friends who would lay down in traffic for him.
See, that's just you being, that's like your Instagram post with the dinosaur on it and shit. I saw that thing. Hold on now.
It was posted so people would see it.
Okay.
That was the whole point of posting something.
Well, you're mad because he didn't say bye to his friends?
No, you know what?
He talks about being a disloyal friend and how that's like the ultimate like kiss of death. And yet this motherfucker over here
doesn't invite us
to shit.
To VFW.
Fuck, dude.
In La Jolla.
In La Jolla, of all places, where we would like to see a film.
You want to go see a film in La Jolla?
This guy over here.
You know that both of us have a special thing for La Jolla.
Really?
Disloyal. Dude, these hoes.
No,
these hoes ain't loyal. That's all I'm telling you.
That's not even my problem with Goodwill. I don't even really have a problem with Goodwill Hunting. I just find it to be a long, fucking boring movie.
Fucking Affleck tells him, I don't even want you to say goodbye. I hope you don't say goodbye.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's convenient. Well, he trusted himself now. Cool, good. He's still a fucking schmuck. He still tears down everything around him, still ruins all the relationships of the people.
Oh, I know what it is, dude. You found a little self-reflection in this character. Well, he's
a difficult character. But I just want to tell you, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me.
Dude, that shit, that movie changed. That was a good movie in high school.
In high school?
No, and it's still a good movie. But it was that was an important film in high school for me. It was.
Cool.
And I like how he says his friends are, what does he say they are? Nietzsche and all these other guys. He pronounces Nietzsche all Boston style. It's pretty good. And he's like, all your friends are dead. That's good.
Goodwill Hunting,
all
too.
All my friends are dead. Dinosaur.
See, so you Will Hunting.
I Will Hunting?
Matt Will Hunting.
Matt Will Hunting. Oh. You Will Hunting. What did you watch, George?
Fucking nothing, man. You're just
playing Aladdin on Sega Genesis?
Yeah, that's a good game, too. No, I've been watching this series called The Stranger on fucking Netflix.
Where you sit on your hand until it falls asleep and then jerk
off. It's this weird fucking British thing that's like really fucked and overly complicated for no reason, and I'm not enjoying it, but...
So it's women, am I right?
Here we are.
You have a thing for streaming series you don't like.
Yeah, man, I really do. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm fucking dying inside.
That's cool, though, I guess.
Welcome to the club. It's either that or I'm rewatching the same fucking five movies over and over again. You know,
dude, for real, that's me. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm not watching one of these like few movies, what's the point? I got new movies on the way. I'm like, am I going to watch these? Probably not.
Like, I started Knives Out the other night. I noped out of it. Not that it's a bad movie. I was like, I'm going to go watch The Martian again for the 10th time.
Hey, I was thinking about that again because I've been, you know, I listen to a lot of Bowie, right? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have never guessed with the fucking audio clip you sent us today.
It's not Starman, you know, but yeah. It's in fucking, to great effect in that movie. It's
fucking fantastic.
And I remember it before doing the show with you, but we were texting intermittently and you were saying, the fucking Martian, dude. And yeah, that is a solid. The
fucking Martian, dude. That sounds like something George.
The fucking Martian. The fucking Martian. No, Ridley Scott, he's hit and miss sometimes, but obviously he's made some masterpieces. Yeah. But that was solid Ridley.
That's pretty good.
That's fucking real good.
Screenplay was good. Matt Damon's great.
Fucking Mark Watney sciencing up the bitch out of Mars. Yeah. In. Super in.
That was good.
Anywho, yeah, no, I've watched literally nothing.
Yeah, it's only been 3 days since we recorded.
Yeah.
Any news that we should get to before we...
Well, there's a little bit of news. Because I watched the Oscars, and everyone knows now, but fucking it's a boon to the industry. It is.
I see what you did there.
Did you?
I see what you fucking did there.
Well, Will, Parasite is a horror adjacent film.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm upset though because
don't do.
Well, no, the fact that it won Best Picture means that it's not at all a horror film.
And
well,
Best Foreign Picture makes me upset.
Incorrect. If you look at our cultural moment, Joker being even nominated and Parasite being nominated, it shows you clearly where the zeitgeist is right now. Thank you.
What?
The old white bitches are not winning right now.
The old white bitches are, not in culture, but when are they? AM radio doesn't have much culture, does it? No, but that's God. Why they're on radio, because they don't got other fucking shit. They got like, you know.
Did you guys see that Rush Limbaugh got awarded a Medal of fucking Honor?
Doug, we talked about that literally 3 days ago.
Did we? Right? No, and I said, talked about him having cancer.
No, because he said something about Rush Limbaugh getting an award. And I said, yeah, enjoy your cancer. Or he said he was Rush Limbaugh. And I said, that's why the president gave him the award.
Did we talk about that during the break?
No. I didn't hear. You know what? Yeah, fuck Rush Limbaugh.
Bro. Anywho, yeah, whatever.
Even if I was a conservative, fuck Rush Limbaugh. Like, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck
Rush Limbaugh and his shitty body.
And his shitty, gross little body.
Damn. You guys are really, really judgmental people.
We're super woke.
You sound kind of like, you know, some heartless conservatives right now. No, but what else happened? The Razzie nominations came out.
Okay.
This is important because two films led the nominees. The Razzies, for those who do not know, are the opposite of the Oscars. They're the worst films of the year. Cats and The Fanatic.
What?
Fanatic was nominated for Worst Picture of the Year.
Fuck yeah.
Worst Director of the Year, Fred Durst.
Fuck yeah.
Worst Actor of the Year, fuck Travolta.
Yeah.
So what this means, and this thing, you can be like, oh, what? No, dude, this is great. This is great because a polarity is a polarity. Whether you're on the best side or the worst side, you're fucking succeeding. You're in the fucking conversation.
Well, see, now this means we need to get Mr. Durst on the show to you know, get state his side. Yeah.
Right.
This is science. We need this.
The other film that got a bunch of nominations was Rambo fucking Last Blood.
Mm-hmm. I heard good stuff about that.
Rambo was really, I said good. I said it was extremely entertaining and dumb as fuck. And yeah. And I agree.
It's a Rambo movie.
But I get why it's nominated for a bunch
of
Razzies.
Whoa.
First Blood
is a fucking masterpiece, brother.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're all the same.
No, this one is beyond the pale. You're fucked.
All that complex dialogue and intricate plot weaving.
Have you seen First Blood?
No.
No.
Motherfuck.
And also, they've been waiting to get Stallone again for a while because they're like, oh, he's doing Creed. This is going to fuck. Oh, wait, this is good. Oh, Creed 2 is going to. Oh, wait, this is good. Oh, he did another Rambo. The last one was really good. And then they're like, fuck, yeah, when are we going to get Stallone
John
again?
John Rambo. Was that what it was called? John Rambo?
Just Rambo.
Yeah, that one was good.
Well, and also, like I said, this one, I'm sorry, if you want to go see Rambo be like Jigsaw, then this one has its moments. So,
oh, he's like a fucking
he set some motherfucking traps.
Ooh, I like that.
For the cartels, Rambo can take down the drug cartels single-handedly.
Hey man, if Fast and Furious can go to the Arctic or the ice or wherever the fuck they went, like Rambo,
That's why it's in the Razzie.
You do the cartel.
Yeah. So that was big news.
Huge news.
Well, The Fanatic and Fred Durst being nominated for Worst Director of the Year, like, and what's this business about The Hunt?
So The Hunt was the movie where basically the poor are hunting the rich, or the rich are hunting the poor.
Like that one with Ice-T years
It makes
ago.
The rich
yeah,
look
like, like Surviving the Game.
It basically makes rich people look bad.
Yeah, and so like Trump like actually spoke not. Out about like against the movie, and so that's why they moved it from like September to like March.
It makes the rich look bad. You mean like Joker and Parasite and Ready or Not?
Oh, yeah, but that's not, that's like on a level that the average person isn't going to understand. Mm. Like in this movie, it's the rich are literally hunting.
I bet they called him and said, raise a shitstorm so this movie can get publicity and fucking have a bigger opening weekend.
I mean, they probably tweeted to him, I'm joking, just so he would, you know, just so he would get it on his radar and say something.
I'm surprised he even could read a script.
I'm surprised he can even read.
I don't think he read anything. Yeah. I think this is bullshit.
Somebody just told him.
I think this is a dumb story.
I think this is bullshit. But now I you know what? Being that we're on a horror podcast, I'm going to go see this goddamn movie.
What movie?
The Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Dog Will Hunt. Month.
Dog Will Hunt.
Sounds good. Huh? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it is familiar.
Yeah, it's First Blood.
Oh, well then, nope.
And it's sampled in a Primus song. That's where you heard it.
No, it's not. It's definitely not where I heard it. If it's not Jerry Was a Race Car Driver or Winona Had a Big Brown Beaver,
I think
Beaver,
it is Jerry Was a Race Car Driver.
Is it?
Dog Will Hunt. Yep.
Is it?
Got him.
Maybe that's Jerry was a race car driver. Stuck the D so fast.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, anything else?
We were talking about, what's his name? Bong Joon.
Bong Suk Dong. I love the guy.
He's doing an action horror film for his next movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, did you guys see that for the they tapped what's-his-face for the Parasite HBO series?
Who? I just learned they're doing a Parasite HBO series.
Parasite HBO series?
Yeah.
It's for an American
that's
audience.
That's fucking news.
Yeah, what's his name? Hulk from the MCU.
Oh, Ruffalo?
Yeah, Ruffalo's been tapped for, don't know anything, what he's playing or anything like that.
Mark Buffalo?
I think Mark
Buffalo?
Buttigieg.
I think Mitch, that's a mistake. Not Ruffalo, just
the series. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
No,
well,
because
we'll see.
The way I heard about it was like I was watching a report and they were like, oh, and now you can watch it without the subtitles. And I'm like, well, bitch, like why? Why not just watch it as it was intended with the fucking subtitles? And then it's going to get Americanized. So it's going to have like some happy ending and be all
Not necessarily, dude. HBO's been doing pretty non like linear fucking series as of late.
I haven't watched anything besides Game of Thrones, and we all know how that went.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Game of Thrones. You know what it is? It's no one's going to be pleased with the ending because they have their own. Everyone has their own idea of how that should end. It's just like Rise of Skywalker.
Bitch,
you know, you can't please everybody. A mistake. Fucking bullshit. They're horrible endings.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good.
Hell of a mistake.
Pretending they already feel that way. All right. Anything else?
I think that's all that's happened.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and come back to talk about
Gretel and Hansel.
Gretel and Hansel.
Hans and Franz. Pump you up.
Pump you up.
I want her to pump you up.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Yeah, turn it off.
That's a throwback there.
That was a good drum break.
Pick yourself up off the side of the road.
That song, that's one where you don't hear it for a good while.
And then it's good again.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was a good drum break. Like, I can't believe that motherfucker, dude.
He has the gall to actually call it a drum break.
That's fucking woke, dude.
I don't think we use the word woke in a very in a very woke way. Oh, shit. Still, and we're back.
There's still an achievement I need.
Hey, Rick, guess what?
What?
We're back, bitch.
We're back!
Yeah, to talk about a film.
Why you gonna call me bitch?
Because that's what you is.
Who you calling a bitch?
Damn, bitch!
U-N-I-T-Y.
Aw, bitch.
So the Who Goes There podcast watched 2020's Gretel and Hansel, directed by Oz Perkins, written by Rob Hayes, starring Sophia Lillis. Samuel Lee,
Sophia Lola.
Charles Babalabaloba,
Baloba,
Alice Krieg, Jessica DeGaulle, Beatrix Perkins, Ian Kenny, Abdul El Sharif, Manuel Pombo, Sophia Lillis, who you might remember from the It movie,
but now with short hair,
shorter hair.
I was gonna say something lewd.
Shortest hair. What were you gonna say that was rude? I want to know.
Lewd. And rude.
And crude.
And crude.
Matt Smith, what'd you think of Gretel and Hansel?
It was better than I thought it would be.
It's me fapping.
It was not bad. I watched it twice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's really... I don't have a whole lot to say about it. It didn't rely on jump scares like
at all.
Blumhouse films do. It felt atmospherically like a lot of the movies from the 70s, like a lot of movies that dealt with, you know, the occult and the devil and things of that ilk. I thought it was a well-written dialogue. I really liked it. Ollie loved it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it put it. Witches in a very positive light.
That seems like a very... Did it, though?
It put what?
Witches in a very positive light? I don't know.
It represented them properly.
I don't know. It represented the polarity possible in all fucking people, and regardless of their belief system, yeah.
Anywho, Rhett, what'd you think?
It was pretty good. No, I mean, seriously, of the January releases, and I'm including fucking Color Out of Space, this was my favorite I saw.
So far?
Yeah, in January that came out, I was taken aback by it, man. I mean, the trailer looked good visually, but what does that mean, you know?
Yeah.
I have not, I thought it was extremely atmospheric. I thought the limited means it has, it creates a pretty fucking really good atmosphere. It's like bleak where it could be like really suspenseful, but I'm kind of down for, I'm really down for that. I'm like, yeah.
Bleak as shit.
Be bleak as fuck.
Yeah.
My main major gripes are that it goes in and out of accents with certain characters and that you've got a voiceover that's unnecessary. Other than that, like the imagery and like the sets, the practical sets they had, which, well, everything's practical in this movie, but the house itself and you know, all of that. And even the costume design, like how that witch looked with the fucking shawl over her face. Mm-hmm. This stuff was pretty effective. I thought it was pretty damn effective, dude.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I do think that fucking three middle-aged, and I'm going to call myself a white person here, three middle-aged white dudes is not this movie's audience. I think this is like bordering YA novel status of like movie. Well,
it feels very occultish though. Like it feels legitimately like occult.
But I will say that despite the fact that I don't think this movie is necessarily made for three old fucks, I think it's really well done. I think most foremost and like what I'm thinking is done well is the visuals, man. It's unbelievably full of character.
Well, yeah, I'd have the only thing I could compare it to recently would be like the A24 horror movies visually.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. I mean,
well, and people have made that comparison there. You know, some people have said like, I mean, it's got a very A24 vibe to it. Just even, you know, kind of the slow plotting movements through the forest and whatnot. And that sort of deal.
It's reliance on atmosphere over jump scares and things like that. And like freaking the aesthetic choices though. Yeah. Yeah. Like they had that window with the multicolored like hues on it and all that kind
and
of
again,
shit.
And again, triangles on triangles on triangles, man. People love putting triangles in film. That's
Good old triangle.
Triangles are hella tight.
Yeah.
Oz Perkins. Okay, you guys are probably much more familiar with this guy than me, or no? The Black Coat's Daughter, I haven't seen.
I've seen it.
And someone told me, oh, the Mike up north in the other podcast, he said that's a Rhett movie. He's like, you would like whatever that means. I didn't know there were Rhett movies, but.
Oh, there are.
I'm surprised you don't know what that means.
Well, I haven't seen that. And I didn't know. Do you know who's. You probably do. Do you know who he's the son of?
No.
Who's the son of?
He's the son of Anthony Perkins.
This and is who's Anthony Perkins?
Fucking Norman Bates. This is Norman Bates' son.
Who is?
Oz Perkins, the director of
this. No shit.
And Black Coat's Daughter, and he did one on Netflix.
Ollie and I were just talking about that. He did.
Is that the cover with that redheaded girl? I'm the pretty
thing that lives in the house.
Yeah.
I saw that too, but I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen either. Now I really want to. And then I was reading, you know, after I saw this, I really read up on other stuff about the guy because I was like, what the fuck? Like, because I never hear him in the conversation about, you know, with Ari Aster or fucking Robert Eggers. And after this, I think, well, certainly for me, like, yeah. I'm really eager to see what he does.
Yeah, you're right. There is moments where that especially the little kid, his acting is kind of all over the place. Like, there are moments where I go, all right.
Well, even the main chick.
That little kid is my spirit animal.
I thought the little kid was good.
And I can't resist.
It's the accents for me, because there's British accents, but then the main character, the redhead from It, she doesn't. Well, Gretel, I think her name. Yeah. But she has kind of doesn't have a real British accent, so it kind of takes me. I'm not, you know, it's a minor gripe, but it takes me out of the, because it feels very. I'm immersed in this world with these thick British accents and whatnot, and the fucking witch, by the way, that is fucking really creepy, dude.
Yeah.
And very, very effective. And we actually,
Hulda is her name.
She's a really interesting character to me, actually, because it's kind of like you get an origin for her. You get to see that she, you know, she's not an absolute monster. Like it's kind of like the Darth Vader type deal. Like not that she, but meaning that you get her motivation as to why she's doing what she's doing.
It's definitely a really cool twist on the Hansel and Gretel story. I think that it does some interesting things in that space while, you know, still keeping in line with the fable. You know, it's I think they do a great job.
Me too. And then like the switching around the story instead of Hansel and Gretel, Gretel and Hansel, like I'm like, okay, are they gonna justify this? Yeah, they do justify it. And then Hansel, like, she leaves him at the end, or she, you know, she tells him to go up and he can go.
We're getting spoilery now. Good. Cause all my questions are in spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can go find his own story. It's like, okay, cool. Like, this movie is about, it's about a girl coming into her power, basically.
Right.
Feeding her.
She has her first period.
Right.
Does she?
Like, yeah. It feels that's
I missed that.
That has DNA of Carrie in it and all sorts of. I mean,
but when was that? I watched this movie twice and
when she woke up from this, I think from the second, either from the second really like vivid dream thing that she was having.
She was spotting. Yeah.
When she woke up in bed and then she was outside by the river washing her clothes. But yeah, man, there's a lot going on, and you know, I think tonally it skews a little bit young, but I still think it's a very smart and effective film. So what did you want to talk about, Matt?
I had a few questions, like what happened at the, why did her fingers go black? Does that just mean she got her powers? Like,
okay, the other lady had black fingers.
Wait, I know, but can I go on my like down my trail of breadcrumbs?
Sure.
So like,
uh-oh. Is this you want to know if this is a Cloverfield movie?
No. I mean, it could be. So like, from what I understand, the main witch birthed the girl in the pink hat. The girl in the pink hat had like just super witchy powers.
She had a high midichlorian count.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's always Parasite Eve, right?
Always handy.
That's a Star Wars reference.
Right. Anyway, so she had all these crazy powers, and the mom was going to get rid of her, but she's basically like, you can't get rid of me. Do what I do, and then you could have the powers too. Right? Up until that point?
Something like that.
So then, when the witch is talking to the girl, to Gretel, she's basically like, you have the witchy powers in you, but you have to make the same choice that I made and like remove the roadblocks from your path, which was her children or Gretel's brother.
Yeah.
And the witch chose to give in and feed her power darkness by eating her children. And Gretel just sent her brother off. So she's feeding it light, like she said at the end.
So yeah, just
because she's embracing the good. But does that mean that inherently all witchiness is bad because her fingers go black? No.
It
means
inherently that all of witch or not, I think what I got from it, it's a little opener interpretation that. That aspect of the witch in the forest, that one that's still out there, is still out there. Like, it's still, there's a malicious aspect to this thing. She's still under threat of her power corrupting her. She's still, her fingers turn black and she's like, oh, I have, what am I going to do? It's basically, well, what am I going to do with this
power? So, but that's what I mean. Just saying now she has her powers, or is that like that the black is like the evil?
Maybe the two witches that have decided to eat their children have just been going about it the wrong way. Maybe you don't necessarily have to eat your children to get your witchy
powers. Have to remove the roadblock. You just
have to make a sacrifice.
And she told her brother, hey, kick rocks.
Well, and I love that because it's like, just because she says, usually in a narrative like this, the bad guy is telling them something false. And it's like, no, she needs to be with her brother and they need to stay together forever and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, just because she's the witch doesn't mean she's wrong about this point. She needs to be on her own.
Right. Yeah.
She embraces that. Her narrative, and that's very much like, I don't want to go there, but the film goes there. It's a feminist narrative in the sense that, like, why does the story have to have Hansel in it? Hansel can go find his own story, and he doesn't have a fucking wand or a fucking staff. He has an axe. It shows him with the axe over and over again. Instead of learning how to, like, bend the trees to his will, the way a boy bends the trees to his will,
he chops them down.
He's going to chop these fucking trees down. So he has his own story. He has to go dominate nature that way.
It's interesting you bring up the feminist side of it, because we've seen a couple few movies this year. This year?
Fucking every year.
That haven't managed to
Whack Christmas did not do it.
To be very, to be very intelligent with their view of, or rather their handling of feminism. I think this is another home run in terms of showing feminism in not a hokey way.
Right. In many ways, simultaneously, really. And it doesn't beat you over the head like that's the only point of the movie.
Well, Osgood Perkins, he's pretty good at that. He did that in Blackcoat's Daughter, where he seems to have a thing for strong female protagonists who wind up, victorious and on top in the end. Like, I really don't remember Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, but I remember it had a female lead and it was like a strong female lead. But that's all I remember about that movie.
So maybe he saw his dad kill fucking Janet Leigh in the shower and he's like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. No. That's bullshit. I'm going
to flip the script.
And yeah, there are certainly visually a lot of symbolism going on. You have old white bitch.
Old white bitch.
Old white bitch witch. And then also she's got her. I see one of the things I didn't quite get was she was kind of going back and forth between young and old, seemingly at random. Did you guys pick up on any sort of meaning or?
So I think she only went young around Gretel when Gretel was like aware of the powers, because she said around the end that she took on like the disguise of the old white witch. So she would appear frail and
so the old witch is the disguise.
Yeah.
As far, I would think so, narratively. As far as the function of it in the story, I think it's about vanity. I think it's about trying to hold on to youth. And that's why she tells her too, you're so young. She's really jealous of the young girl in this way. She's also, though, kind of a good mentor. Here and there,
I think so too. I mean, she's being a selfish bitch who eats people, but you've got to eat humans. She's still guiding her along.
She's showing her the technical aspects of the craft, like that. She does that.
The craft,
and, yeah.
Well, she tricked her into eating those humans. She disguised them as good food.
But I don't want to forget it, so I'll mention it too. That my favorite scene in this was when she brought all those like the entrails and the dead parts. And then, like, they were re
slapped an arm on top of it.
Yeah, slapped an arm on top of it, and then she like
a chubby little arm too.
That scene was really fucking good. That was really effective, and it was just enough gore. And it was, and that, you know,
I think it's any
in
of
the
those,
basement of the house.
I think any of those walls. Any of those basement scenes, I think were probably the most visually stunning.
That basement was gorgeous. Like, I don't know where you find that, but the architecture in that room is awesome.
I almost had a feeling, and I this is probably a terrible movie to compare it to, but I almost got a feeling that this was like sort of retro futurism, where I had a feeling that we were going to get The Villaged a tiny, tiny bit.
Where I get what you're saying, where but I think it plays into the fantasy aspect.
Where that curtain was going to come across and a fucking like futuristic skyline was going to be back there. And Gretel's been in, you know, in 2049 for her entire life, and
she's just in like
it's just been experiment. In the forest for, you know, her entire life. Not that I was like, oh, please give me that.
I was actually chatting with Jacob Denton, one of our, you know, our regular listeners. Hello.
Hi, Sophia.
I saw this with Sophia and she loved it, by the way.
Sophia. You didn't even say hi to her yet, man.
Whoa. It was coming.
Must be slipping.
I beat you to it.
No, but he was saying he was real happy when I told him I liked the thing a lot, and that
that's what she said.
But he said he's talked to a lot of horror people and they hated it, and said also that it was inconsistent with its set design and this and this. And I'm like, dude, it's a fantasy. It's not a fucking. It's a period piece in a sense, but it's a fantasy. It goes with the nightmare logic of the thing. It goes. So I'm relating to what you're saying. It is kind of a. It has well. I think something that plays into that is the score. The score is synth.
Yeah, it's very synthy. Yeah.
And I said this a while back. I'm like, what are we going to do with all these synth scores? Honestly, now I'm like, okay, I like this juxtaposition. A synth score with this movie, it made it feel like a very 80s fucking fantasy horror film to me.
Yeah. Dude, you need to get into more 70s.
Well, there was even what was really strange too is that some of I don't know if it was part of the
felt like legend
score. Or if it was just pure sound effect. But did you guys notice earlier in the movie, I think pre-meeting the witch, that there was even what sounded like radio static, like actual like voices trying to come through radio static?
I definitely heard voices. I don't know that I heard static. I just assumed it was like dissonant whispers, you know, like just the ghosts that were around.
Dissonant whispers. Fucking Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, dude.
William Faulkner.
You know, like, so that's what I thought it was. Was kind of like,
what was that? Was it Teddy Roosevelt that his wife and his daughter died on the same day, and like his diary entry was like, today the light has gone out of my life. Oh, yeah.
I think it was Roosevelt.
That's fucking mad over here, dude.
That's his. If Teddy Roosevelt like had Facebook, that's what his post would have been. Fucking,
damn.
Today the light has got feeling sad.
he would have been in a screamo band in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Sorry about all that.
Yeah. I just thought it was like voices of maybe like the children that, you know, that the witch had taken. At one point it was the witch herself like communicating, or like the girl in the pink hat, cause she was like, find me, join me, sisters, like,
right.
So that's what I figured. I don't know about radio static though.
Yeah, maybe I misheard it, but
I didn't pick that up, but
that's why, like, I'm that's why sure. I was like kind of keyed into like looking for dude, and this is like
the sound, the atmosphere, again, sound-wise, all of it, and the shots of the... It was very atmospheric.
That's why there was...
Very hypnotic.
That was kind of leading me into thinking, like, okay, this might have not necessarily present-day implications, like maybe it's post-apocalyptic, which was kind of what I was thinking. And even, like, in some of the rooms, I was looking at the architecture, and I was like, is that, like... Like drywall that's labeled like normal ass drywall. I was like, well, this is fucking weird to me.
Wait, they had regular ass drywall?
That's what it looked like to me. And I go, what are they doing here? Like, what are they? I was in my own.
Maybe it was just budgetary.
Maybe you're just having visions of all the construction you've been doing.
Maybe I'm just
building a granny flat. I'm just your having.
Are they ripping out a shower in the next room?
Yeah, right. What are they doing here? Oh, you didn't insulate that wall properly.
Like, and when they could turn that little cabin with the tools in it into another house.
Granny flat.
Yeah, dude. So how many granny flats could you fit in that basement? When, dude, at least two.
When the huntsman's like, let me dry you guys a bath, and she's taking the bath outside, George is like, okay, I could see how you could run a pipe this way. Like, yeah. Oh, I could build that deck there, too.
Oh, you know, running that open stove like that, very expensive. Yeah. Very expensive.
That reminds me, too, when she's traveling before she makes it to the witch's house and all that, and they come across that guy who takes her in. Takes them out. The woodsman. And it's cool because clearly they don't like say it out loud, but he seems to be
working with the witch, right?
Well, no, I didn't get that. See, I got that he was like a Christian. Like he's got and
but
so,
that was it was an upside down cross, dude.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he had the upside down cross, and then the thing, and then she starts saying like,
and then the monster.
She's like, well, do you think it's weird that like, you know, people just happen to be there right when you need them? Like, or does it seem like
I love that part of her
the
character.
The snake.
Yeah. Where she's like, there's a cost to everything.
Yeah.
That's a
thing that goes in with witchiness.
I like that she's not, I like that the aspect of her character isn't necessarily that she's pessimistic. She's just very like, where's the other side of the
coin? In my life, I call it the law of compensation. Like there's a necessary balance that like it costs something.
Yeah,
whether we're not talking monetary here, you know, it's an energy transference. That's how sacrifice works.
There's another podcast I listen to where one of the hosts talks about the emotional bank account and how everything you do is either a deposit or a withdrawal.
That's fucking good.
Oh, dog, I've been in debt for so long.
and it's kind of that same. It's kind of that same thought where, like, every withdrawal has to come from somewhere. You know, it's coming out of somebody's pocket.
Well, it sounds like I completely misinterpreted, or just interpreted differently, but probably misinterpreted that guy, the woodsman, from what you guys were telling me. What I got from it, though, and a thing that was gleaming with me was that, you know, Christianity is a commonplace ethos, obviously, these days. It's not particularly hip, right? But once upon a time...
It used to be hip.
Well, once upon a time, if you're a genuine Christian... Like this, if you're a... Once upon a time, it was a... You know, it meant like you did something without any thought of reward, you know? Which is like, oh, wow.
And then you got crusaded on.
Then you got... Crusaded on. You went and yeeted on the...
Wait, see, so here's... Here's why I think he was in league with the witch, because they were talking about how the widow or something that used to sell their father chickens lived right up the road. That's the house they were going to.
Well, maybe he's...
So they were going to a woman's house. They get in there.
Maybe they tolerate each other.
Just lay down. Then there's a monster that chases them out. This guy kills the monster, no problem. And then he's like, oh, I'll get you set up and get you on your way. It seems like he's kind of looking for people that may be off in the woods and leading them to the witch.
Well, not only that, like one of those,
he's like a gatekeeper.
It's one of those things where you're like, why do you have rabbit on hand if you ain't even like rabbit?
Yeah, he's
just
like,
in case,
I don't
brother.
Have a taste for rabbit.
This is human fingers.
Also, thank you for reminding me when they were trying to give her that drink and she's like, oh, the foul odor is just a gatekeeper for the wonders that lie beyond beneath. Metaphor for vagina.
Absolutely.
The foul odor is just to mask the gatekeeping for the wonders that lie beyond.
I mean, but that's, assuming that vagina
that's
has
like,
a
you
foul
know, this,
odor.
Well, you know, some of them do. Some of them
I don't
do.
Think. Yeah, I think you're off, brother.
I think that was thrown in there intentionally.
It has a delicious odor.
I think you fucked on this one.
He's so weak. He winked at me right now.
Okay. he wants you to smell his pussy.
Yeah. is it vagina?
Your back pussy. Yeah.
my bussy.
It's a bussy.
There we go. Now we've devolved into retardation.
It's a boy pussy.
Oh, wait.
We were talking about metaphors and
things were going well.
Things were going so well.
We started the show talking about fucking tongue worms or eating people's assholes.
Did you guys feel like that fucking interaction with the mom was I don't want to say forced because she's obviously fucking crazier than a loon, but I almost felt like it was just like, okay, we got to get this movie started. Let's make the mom crazy.
I thought it felt a little rushed.
I mean, it makes sense though in the grand scheme of things, because you really don't need the mom. You just need a quick reason for Hansel and Gretel to be out doors, you know, and their dad.
But do they necessarily need to resent the mom when they leave? Like, I don't understand why.
I think it makes sense thematically that you have several aspects of mother and femininity here. And this mother is completely disconnected from nature. She's completely disconnected from anything like that. She's really upset that her daughter just couldn't keep her mouth shut. Or I don't know if she is or the brother is, but remember she goes into that job interview.
Oh God.
Which is not for what it's for.
That fella was gross as fuck.
Right. So that's what I mean. This, her mother is exemplifying a kind of femininity that's okay with that. So you get what I'm saying? She rejects that.
I honestly think that model. I think what it was that she just needed help. Like her dad died recently, so it was just her mom and the kids.
Circumstances.
Yeah, so it's like, well, you know, if you have to go suck an old guy's dick, you go suck an old guy's dick.
That's her story. Pay bills. That's her story. Gretel goes to find her story, and it finds it with a fucking witch in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, but the mom, like, I don't know, it just seemed.
Well, the mom should go suck irrelevant. Some dick.
Like,
you know.
Well, yeah.
The mom's like. I would suck dick if I could, but she's but I'm far too old.
Yeah, well, she's like 30.
I mean, like, that's she's fucking you chose ancient. That path. 30,
and this time she's probably like 18.
She chose. I mean, what, you know, what's Gretel?
My dick sucking years are behind me.
What's Gretel supposed to do for her? You know, and what's the mom supposed to do for Gretel? Also, so I the bleakness. That's what I meant. It's a really bleak like setup. You know, which I appreciated.
Speaking of setups, do you think they set this up for a sequel where Gretel and Hansel end up like butting heads? Like that final scene with Hansel where he like takes the axe out of the table. Hansel and
Gretel witch hunters?
And he holds it up and he looks at it.
Jeremy Renner? Wait, did you see that one?
No.
Me neither. Of course I did. Of course I did.
How was that shit?
Not good, but fun.
Damn. Would you say that's better or Van Helsing?
Van Helsing is leagues better than fucking that Hansel and Gretel thing, man. Oh, boy.
What about the Brothers Grimm?
The Brothers Grimm, I actually think is okay.
That's Terry Gilliam who directed that, right?
Yeah, it's
a misfire.
I think it's okay. It's not a bad film. There's some campy goofiness to it, and that, I think that's part of the point.
See, that's such a shame because with that pedigree, you got Damon, you got fucking Heath Ledger, and you got Terry Gilliam.
Yeah. Like, I think it's fine. It's another one of those things where, like, visually, it's kind of stunning, and they're doing some things in that film. You're like, oh fuck, please just steer this, you know, get this boat back to shore. But they don't. Yeah. It's kind of a mess. But no, I mean,
to answer your question about if it set up a sequel, I mean, I didn't get that, but
this would be a weird fucking film to do a sequel to, like Hansel and Gretel Reloaded.
No, because I mean, like Red even said, there's always that constant threat now of like the witch being in the woods. There's always that thing, you know. So like Gretel grows up and becomes more witchy. Hansel grows up, becomes a man, like starts hearing about this witch in the woods, and like he's got that axe now. The way he held up that axe and looked at it, and I know the axe was like a thing throughout the whole movie, but like
it's very mythic. I get what you're saying, because I actually picked up on like whether she's gonna have a showdown with the dark aspect of the witch, like in the forest.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying, mm-hmm, like because they're both in touch with nature. They're both, you know, so does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the showdown that popped in my head was between her and the other witch. But Hansel, yeah, that makes sense, though. I mean, but that would be like a symbolic of the fucking war of the sexes, basically.
Well, yeah. It's definitely setting up the divide in this movie.
Right? It would be a weird sequel. I wouldn't see that.
I like that, too, because you could see, like, oh, do they have to, like, subvert it and make it, like, feminist? I mean, it's a classic story. But, again, when it says, like, let Hansel find his own story, meaning let the guy have his own story. And guess what? There are lots and lots of guy stories. There are lots of stories where the hero is the guy. Predominantly, they are, especially in Western civilization, in most civilization, I guess. Yeah. Certainly in most films. So that's why it's not even just like, it's not just some card they're playing where it's like, oh, they're cashing in on a moment. It's like, no, it's legitimate. Like, let Hansel have his own fucking story. And we've got plenty. There's, you know, there's plenty of Neos and Luke Skywalkers and fucking all sorts of fucking hero's journey stuff for dudes. Yeah. Like, the girls need theirs. And stay woke.
This film is... stay woke, motherfuckers. This movie is actually done fairly well. It's done 11 million domestic, 2 million, 14 million total domestic and international.
This is a, I think if anything, this is the legacy of this will be a cult film, but this will open doors for Oz Perkins. This is the first film of his definitely that was released theatrically, I would imagine.
Was Black, I don't know, Black Coats might have been.
Like limited release maybe?
Yeah, I don't think it was a large scale, but that one got a lot of buzz around it. Chris loved that movie. Like that was one of his favorite movies of 2018, whenever it came out, 17. A
couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Budget of $5 million, so it's more than made its money back.
Well, even buzz-wise, I mean, look.
They did a lot for $5 million bucks. Fuck.
Well, yeah, they did. This was edited by Josh Ethier, too, who does all of Joe Bigos' movies. And
he's
done a lot of, like, you know, all those, the new, what were they called? The Splat Pack, like Mickey Keating. And
that was something you and I both mentioned. Gardner.
So next week's movie might even be edited by Josh Ethier, too.
I loved the fucking editing in Bliss.
Yeah.
It made scenes that would have been subpar really, really interesting and really kinetic.
Josh Ethier has like a really good eye for that kind of thing. He's got like I told Alia when we walked out, I was like, that definitely has Josh Ethier's stylistic stamp, like right all over it.
Well, it's like you said, you said it last week on the show, editing is so fucking crucial and they never get credit, especially though for film, but for horror, horror, your edit, where do things start and stop? Where's the tension start? Where's it released? Release valve is the fucking editing.
Yeah.
That was another nice thing in this was there was no jump scares. You know, it let you just soak in all of that tension.
This would be it. When that witch with the shawl over her face was looking at the camera basically and they're holding the image, that's fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah.
It started working on me. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, knowing that that little figure was the girl in the pink. Like, it's like, damn, like, fuck.
I'm happy you guys liked it.
And the idea that like that hat that she's wearing is so recognizable even in a shadow.
Yeah.
You're looking for it in every single panning shot of the forest.
See, I was looking in the background of every shot of every scene because I kept expecting there to be something like more shadows, more shapes, more whatever, just because
it was pretty minimal.
You're conditioned with this kind of movie to look in the background for things. I mean, that's just what you do.
And even, you know, and I even want to go so far as to say that the comedy that was placed in this,
it was dry as fuck,
was not only dry as fuck but really entertaining. Like that scene where the kids get fucking they get all shroomed out.
Oh, that was great.
I thought that was so well done.
Yeah, I was like, that's a pretty accurate reaction. And then it
goes from, what the cool thing about it is it goes from like them being
much more accurate than pens full of meth.
Being, you know, enjoying the trip, and then all of a sudden flipping out to something's stalking them in the forest. Like, that's a really cool little moment too. Like, that's all well done.
It was.
It's going to give shrooms a bad name, though.
You saw this twice, you said, Matt?
Yeah.
See, I wanted to see it. I'd like to see it again.
You missed the period thing?
Well, to be fair, the first time I watched it was a really shitty Telesync version online. Yes, I streamed it.
Oh, my God. You didn't see it in
theater? No, I did today.
You could have at least, given them two tickets on fucking
It was like AMC. I told you guys last night. Like, my schedule was so limited, I didn't know that I was going to get to the theater today. I was like, I want to make sure I actually see it, but I made it to the theater, so that's why I watched it twice.
It's a good theater movie.
I agree.
Most movies are, I don't know,
movies, as it turns out.
I think I would rather I think I would rather watch this like at home with the lights off, like confined.
Oh, that'll
think,
work too. That'll work, yeah, too.
Yeah, I think the bigger room and like the more people there and the more noise that you hear helps take you out of it a little bit.
I can
bit.
See that.
Because, like,
this is one where you don't want to see anything beyond the borders of the screen.
Yes. And, like, hearing somebody kind of slightly cough down here to my right and somebody over here crinkling food wrappers, it's like, you know, I'm into the atmosphere of the movie and you're taking me out of it.
Yeah, dude. It has fucking, it for real atmosphere. Like, it has, like, hypnotic gaze. Like, yay, like, no, I'm for real, bitch. Like,
well, dude, that even that shot where, like, she took her brother outside and just, like, there was that red light and she kind of threw him out there, like,
yeah,
that was a little spooky scene right there.
Yeah. And man, that house I want to live there.
The house is the shit.
I want to fucking live.
The window on the door, like all those little. That's the thing. This is effort and like elegance and like skill. $5 million budget. $5 million budget. Just great fucking design and very minimal.
Yeah,
very minimal. Like even the basement, the way they got out of their budget was like, well, have it white walls. Like, it's fucking...
See, but where did they find that basement? Like, what is that
building? It's probably just a studio space. I mean, there was nothing... I mean, it's just...
There's not much ornate...
There's not much going on there. No, but
it looked cool as fuck.
If it was Guillermo del Toro, there would be, like, five layers of prints and stuff, like, going towards...
Well, there was wallpaper up.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there weren't prints or textures or patterns, you know. That's... But, yeah, there's plenty of texture.
Can we talk about something? Can we talk about something?
The drywall?
Can we talk about...
The tag drywall?
Oh, you want to talk about the young...
Can we talk about that young...
Young goth bitch!
You mean Christine?
That young goth fucking princess witch. My God. My
that was good, just fine.
Good God. I'm like, well, I guess I have a witch fetish all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then Gretel's the one that gets to give her wood in the end.
Nah.
Wow. Gets to give her wood.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that too, by the way, where they have the fucking kid like dive off into the fucking...
Somebody I saw was like making direct comparisons to this movie to Star Wars. And I was like, oh shit, you fucked my shit up. I get
really?
It.
Really? How?
Like,
no, it's there.
Yeah, like I was like, damn, you've figured me out, man.
In an interview, Oz Perkins himself mentioned that the best villains to him are the ones that are sympathetic a little bit, that you know that they're... And he mentioned Darth Vader as a thing.
Yeah.
But as far as... She's getting trained with the Force.
She's getting trained and and she's moving the
Is she going to pick the light side or the dark side?
Yeah. Young witch could get trained, am I right?
Young white witch.
Yeah.
Okay. That worked out.
That actually worked out all right.
Yeah, and it's not offensive or anything.
It's not offensive or anything.
But why she got to be white?
Because she literally is white.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's not okay. Now we got to go back to the...
Well, she's at least...
White bitch!
She's at least Icelandic with that rune she's got on her arm.
She's not from
so.
America and strip malls and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Strip malls of America?
Did you guys see that fucking video
little
of that...
pink houses for
of
you
that
and me.
Stripper falling from like a second...
Yeah, dude. Did you send us that?
No.
Oh, I saw that shit. It was like she got right back up and kept dancing.
She kept twerking, dude, and I was like, shh,
yo,
bitch.
Make your money.
Rich, you proud.
Make your money.
Did you see this video?
No.
So there's this like strip club or I don't know what it is, but it's got this like 20-foot tall stripper pole in the middle of the dance. So I guess one of the strippers had climbed her ass up there, and the video starts with literally her dropping from the top and hitting the ground.
Dude, like a bag of cement.
And not only is she okay, she whips around and starts shaking that ass.
Yeah, dude, they must have been playing Taylor Swift because
so
she
like
just
the
shook
Ghostbusters
it off.
Ghostbusters pole, they slide down like firemen.
Yeah.
She just fucking
Face planted onto the stage, shook it off, and then shook her ass, dude. Wow. This is good stuff.
Fantastic, man.
Cocaine and booze.
Yeah.
Maybe she got her meth from Zeke.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah,
maybe she was just a witch.
She's a witch.
She flew down.
Are you a fan of Monty Python movies? I don't think you are, right?
Well, look.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
The thing is, I'm not crazy. It's weird. It's a weird answer because I like the show.
Okay.
And like the Institute of Silly Walks and all that shit. And I love that. Did you ever see that episode?
Yeah.
Fucking great. And I love that. I'm not big because I didn't grow up watching it on
like
Holy Grail.
Oof.
But I'm big
what
on...
What about like Life of Brian?
Life of Brian, I prefer to Holy Grail.
Meaning of Life? Have you seen Meaning of
like
Life?
Like Holy Grail, it's like, oh, it's just a scratch. It's like, yes, he's legs
yeah, but
chopped
there's,
off and he's minimizing that it's actually chopped off. I get that joke.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
but I mean, this is like a 70-year-old movie,
I know. I'm not being... I get it. But I didn't grow up watching it. So I'm like, I saw it later in my mid-teens and I was just like,
So essentially, like you Benny have Hill, the same like reaction either. That I have to Die Hard. You've seen it parodied everywhere. You didn't grow up watching it. You watched it once you were an adult, and you'd already knew about all the references.
Die Hard is literally like nearly flawlessly executed.
Flawly is right.
Nah,
flawly executed. Yeah.
Nah, dude. If you know what, dude,
it was as
woke.
Flawlessly executed as
if
that.
You stay woke.
Itchy and scratchy land where nothing can
I'll be sober.
Go
I'll be
wrong.
Sober and I'll guide you through a trip wrong. Where you take LSD and we listen to the director's commentary on Die Hard. It will fucking blow your
why do I want to do that? I would rather get
dude,
drunk and
amazing.
Listen to the director's
commentary
on Big Trouble in Little China. Kurt Russell and John Carpenter just get more and more drunk throughout the movie. It's
well,
great.
Nah, this is not. Die Hard was not like that.
Well, that's because Die Hard is not as good as Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, come on.
That's right. Yeah. True. Fact. Fact. And Big Trouble in Little China was first. So it's even better.
First. That's true. I think.
First.
I think it's true.
Yeah, it's 86 versus what, 88?
I think Die Hard was fucking.
What's the first movie ever?
First movie ever.
Yeah, that's the best movie according to Matt.
As long as we're talking shelf life. No, but yeah. Why do you ask though about the Monty Python thing?
I got to thinking about witches and it's a witch and that whole bit. But yeah, no.
It's just not my, like Benny Hill too. I don't get that thing.
No, that's no good.
Yeah, well, like some people are like, oh, you don't like British humor if you don't like Benny Hill. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, fucking, that's the only British humor there is? Like, it's like, yeah, I know that he had a lot of naked chicks. Like, you know, that's fine.
Well, yeah, he was a pervert. That was the whole thing.
Well, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
When you're British, it's super hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I like that dry British humor. You know what I'm saying? I like
Isn't that. It all, though?
Well, not, it's just a scratch, blah 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 blah. That's like, come on, dude. Like, fucking you're talking Die Hard. Alan Rickman, who plays a German in Die Hard, I understand, but his fucking delivery, his line delivery in Die Hard is hilarious to me, dude.
Okay, but like, you also like The Room, so like,
oh, The Room is fucking transcendent. It's like the best unintentional avant-garde art piece ever made. It's like avant-garde by accident, which makes it more avant-garde than anything.
All right, well, we're still talking about Gretel and Hansel.
We kind of are. I googled the first full-length feature movie ever made. It's a movie called The Story of Kelly Gang.
Best one.
By
movie ever.
A bunch of people in Melbourne in 1906.
1906.
Best movie ever.
Best movie ever. Because
according to Matt, because it's first.
First.
Yeah, so let's get back to Gretel and Hansel.
It's pretty good.
You know what? And January was actually kind of good to us, I got to say. I mean, one thing I was reflecting on that, by the way. They release a lot of horror movies almost every year in January now. Also, because it's a good time.
Maybe they're catching on.
Well, because a lot of studios don't have faith in them either.
Right. Well, that's which I talked about initially. And that's why we had those two. Okay. We had, you didn't see The Turning, but it's fucking god awful. It's even worse than The Grudge. Okay. It's worse than The Grudge.
Hell yeah.
Then I'm very glad I didn't watch
it. So you should watch it. You should, George. And it's in the, it tries to take place in the 90s.
Well, one last
it
thing.
It tries to take
place. One last thing I want to talk about is so our main character, Gretel, Sophia Lillis. I keep trying to say Lilith, but it's Lillis. Homegirl is, she's doing a thing.
She's coming into her power.
Yep. Oh, dude.
Right.
It parallels her own life, dude. It does. Oh my god. That's crazy. God.
That's Osgood Perkins right there. He knows what's up.
That's Osgood Wokens.
Oh.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So yeah. That's the Who Goes There podcast for Gretel and Hansel. Matt Smith, what's up with the Patreon, dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is why we're able to go see these movies in theaters, because you guys help us continue doing our show. By going to Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast, you can donate a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money. And in return, you'll get exclusive content, bonus episodes like the episode on The Boxer's Omen that we're doing, and apparently Fantasy Island. Who knows? But yeah, you'll get cool stuff. We'll get to keep doing the show that you love to listen to. So go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and help us do that shit. There was one thing I wanted to mention last week that I forgot. If you like The Faculty, there is a game called Obscure that is very similar to The Faculty. It's in a high school, has a group of like stereotypical teenagers, creepy, weird shit, got to go fight. It's co-op. It's on Steam. We should do it. Me and my brother-in-law played that like 15 years ago on PS2.
Okay.
Good stuff.
All right. Check this out.
I've never heard of it.
I bet.
Because it's
Obscure.
That's not even that. Jesus
Christ. I mean, it is kind of obscure. Though.
That's pretty good. That's worse than the controversial shit.
We ain't.
Oh, you mean the old cancer riddled bitch from space?
No, last episode is even better, dude. Last episode is even better. He goes, what was the thing?
Fucking
fat goth bitch.
You left it on there. So you left that one.
I forgot to fucking edit it out.
Has anyone said anything about that? That's a little troublesome, actually.
There's only one person. That complains about the things we say.
I honestly, like, when you told me the night of, I was like, yeah, I'll put that in my notes. And then 3 days later, what?
Have you listened to the episode?
No.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good episode.
All right, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 249. We'll see you next week for 250, where we, I guess, cancel the show.
Yeah. I got to meet Kurt Russell in the next week.
Well. You're not going to meet it hanging out with Brian, that's for sure. All right, dummies. Good night. I hate your fucking guts.
Bye, Sophie.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.